The overall picture here of this Gemara in Marcus is that in this encounter or in this dialogue between Rabbi Akiva and his colleagues, Rabbi Gamliel, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Yeshua, there are two stories, two episodes, and in both cases, Rabbi Akiva sees this vision and he laughs, and his colleagues cry. They turn to him, "Why are you laughing?" He turns to them, "Why are you crying?" They explain why they're crying, and he explains why he's laughing. And the two episodes are number one, the sounds of the crowds in Rome. So the Romans are having a blast. You know, there's like a lot of noise. You know, they probably had great tourism. You know, Rome is like one of the capitals of tourism in the world. You know, millions of people come to Rome every year. And everything is going really exciting. And Rabbi Akiva's laughing. So he explains that he's laughing because of this Kal Vachomer. If that's the way God rewards Ovrei Ritzono, how much more so Osei Ritzono? Then we have the second story in which they have a vision. What they see is the foxes prowling on the Harabayas. They cry and he laughs. They ask him, "Why are you crying?" He says, "Why are you laughing?" He asks them back, "Why are you crying?" They say that this is the holiest place in the mountain of Hashem. And that's, now there are foxes prowling there. He says, "Why am I laughing?" Because now that I see that the Nevuah of Uriah was fulfilled, how much more so do I now know that the Nevuah of Zechariah is going to be fulfilled? So we're asking four questions on this Gemara. Let's go over the four questions. Question number one is, how could Rabbi Akiva possibly doubt the fulfillment of the prophecy of Uriah? He needs a proof. Question number two is, why doesn't Rabbi Akiva straight away explain why he's laughing? Instead, he turns to them to ask him why they're crying. Number three, why are there two stories in the Gemara? And the Gemara thinks that only after the second story, then Rabbi Akiva somehow succeeds in calming down the other Tanoim, and they respond by saying, Nichamtani, that you have given us consolation. And the fourth question is that when they give Rabbi Akiva like the Yashar Koyach, the language of the Gemara is Akiva Nichamtanu, Akiva Nichamtanu. A double language. Now this question about a double language of a double Nichamtanu is something that we already saw in Yeshayahu HaNavi, right, this week's Haftorah, where it says Nachamu Nachamu Ami, a double language. And we saw that according to Rabbeinu Bechaye, the double language is justified by Mida Keneged Mida. We had a double punishment for our multiple sins, and now we need a double Nechama and Tanchumen. We're going to try to see if we can embellish it a little bit further. Now we go on to a very strange Gemara in Masechta Yuma, again on the first page of Yomar Makomos, and the Gemara in Yuma says that when the Goyim actually came into the Heichal to destroy the Migdash, so they saw the Kruvim that were Mechubakim Zem Zem. They were literally hugging each other. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz, which you'll see on page 2 in the Sichot Musar, he brings a kasha from the Ritva, and the Ritva's kasha is based on a principle established in the Gemara Baba Basra. The Gemara Baba Basra establishes that the Kruvim were Ish El Echav, one Kruv was facing the other one, and the Gemara establishes the following principle: B'shosh Yisrael Osim Ritzono Shel Makom, when the Jewish people are fulfilling God's will, then Ka'os V'Simon L'Kirvasam, as a demonstration of their closeness to God, Laviyam Shebashamayim, the Kruvim are facing each other, one another. But at the time when Eina Osim Mekom Shel Makom, then the Kruvim face outwardly, and there's no facing of each other. Now, at the time of the Churban, clearly that would be classified as a time of Ein Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shel Makom. And yet, the Gemara describes, this is the Ritva's Kasha, the Gemara describes the situation, the position of the Kruvim at that point was that they were Mechubakim Zemze. They were Meurim Zemze. That seems to be antithetical to the moment of Churban. Rabbi Chaim Shalevitz gives an answer. We're not going to get into it, just very quickly summarize it. He says that we want to derive from this that the way God runs the world, there's no contradiction between Ava and Din. Din meaning strict justice. And at the moment that God meets out justice with Klal Yisrael and meets out punishment, all this is because of his chiba, his love for Klal Yisrael. And that's an endless love. So because of that great hanhaga, dafka when HaKadosh Baruch Hu is meeting out punishment, paradoxically, that's when God expresses his greatest, most intense, profound love for the people of Israel, and that's when the Kruvim will be Ma'urim Ze'im Ze'. Now, I have a lot to say about this Reb Chaim Shmulevitz. I just want to change the Seder Advarim and come back to Reb Chaim Shmulevitz, because first we're going to explore a whole other avenue to try to understand why the Kruvim were Ma'urim Ze'im Ze'. So we now have three questions. Question number one is we're trying to understand the double language of Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. Question number two, we're trying to understand the two stories, the two episodes of Rabbi Akiva with his Chaverim, and why he insisted on asking them Lama Tem Bochim, and then only then does he reveal why he's laughing, and then we have to understand why he needed to see in front of his eyes the fulfillment of Uriah before he could believe in the fulfillment of Zechariah. And finally, the last question is why the Kruvim on the Urim Zems at the moment of Churban Abayis. Let's just add one more question. Two more questions, perhaps. One question is about the final kina that closes the kinos, Elitzion V'Areha. And we find that this kina compares the Yalala, Yalala means the crying, the wailing over the Churban, to the crying and wailing of a woman who's in labor. And the other equation or analogy is to a Basula, a girl who never got married. Tragically, she got married, and before they even consummated the marriage, her husband died. What is the deeper meaning of these two metaphors that form the very backbone or the essence of Elitzion V'Areha? And the final question we want to ask is about the strangest minhag that we have, and that is that the Bein HaMetzarim period, which reaches its apex on Tisha B'Av, it's a 3-week period in which we gradually build up what we call Mosif HaHolech, until we get to the most intense, profound Avelus, from the 17th of Tammuz, reaching the pinnacle on Tisha B'Av. And then, in the middle of Tisha B'Av, after we daven Mincha, the whole situation changes. We sit on chairs. At that point, we put on our talis and tefillin. We recite, the normal Anenu, plus we add Nachem into tefillah. I mean, the entire atmosphere of Avelus, which again, as we said, reaches its pinnacle on Tisha B'Av, changes and is diminished at the afternoon, at Mincha time. And all this is codified in the Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Tisha B'Av, which you'll see on page 3, that Siman Tav Kuf Nun He. Now, this is very strange, because Chazal tell us that it was in the afternoon of Tisha B'Av that the enemy set torch to the Migdash. And we would assume, in fact, there's one day in the Gemara, Rabbi Yochanan says that if it were up to me, I would have established the 10th day of Av as the day to commemorate the calamity, because that's when the Migdash went up in smoke. And the Mishnah Berurah, when he explains the Mechaber here, in Sifkat and Gimel, he writes Laharos Nechama Ba'Avelim Bo Bayom, that the change, the transition here, and the addition of Nachem, and the fact that we sit on chairs, the fact that we put on talis and tefillin, all this is a demonstration of Nechama, of solace for the mourners on this day of Tisha B'Av. And it's very strange because the moment of Mincha really coincides or syncs with the moment of Churban HaBayis. I mean, that's really, really, if you had to pinpoint one moment, that would be the moment of Churban HaBayis. And paradoxically, that's the moment of Nechama. Very strange. So to try to answer all these questions, we're going to present a breakthrough here, a yesod, as we call it, from the Gaon, from the Vilna Gaon. And the one who writes extensively on this is the Rosh Yeshiva of Chevron Yeshiva. I think we've mentioned him in the past, Rabbi David Cohen, Shlita. And the Gaon bases himself on a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos tries to analyze a pasuk that says, Nafla lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. If we translate this literally, it is the most depressing verse in all of Tanakh as far as the Jewish nation is concerned. Nafla, you will fall. Lo tosif kum besulas Yisrael. There's no hope for you. You'll never get back up on your feet. And the Gemara says that this pasuk is so depressing, it's such intense and profound peronios, that the letter Nun is left out of Ashrei. There's no all the other letters of the alphabet except for Nun, and the reason why Nun is omitted is because of this pasuk, Nafla, Lo Tosif Kum. The Gemara quotes the Bnei Marava, and the Bnei Marava add a comma to this pasuk, and that comma completely changes the meaning of the pasuk. After the word Nafla, you add a comma, and you don't read it Nafla Lo Tosif Kum, but what it means is Lo Tosif Linpol Od Besulas Yisrael Kum Besulas Yisrael. Meaning, once you put a comma after the word Nafla, you can now, so to speak, add a carrot, you know, add a few words to the pasuk. Nafla. And after Nafla, Lo Tosif, and then you're going to take the last three words in the pasuk, Kum Besulas Yisrael, as a separate entity. Lo Tosif means he's going back on Nafla. So Nafla, Velo Tosif. Nafla, you've fallen, but Lo Tosif, you won't fall again. Kum Besulas Yisrael. I mean, just a radical, you know, 180 degree turnaround. So we're going to try to see, this is the goal of the Gaon, if we can reconcile the understanding, the interpretation of the Bnei Marav on this pasuk with the first interpretation, that's Nafla Velo Tosif Kum, which explains why the Nun was omitted from Ashrei. Says the Gaon, there's a new principle. We're going to formulate this principle in six words, but Amamish, it changes everything. And if we accept this principle, then all the questions that we have will be answered. Everything will fit into place. Says the Gaon, there's something called a diuta tachtona shel nefila. It means when something goes down and it falls and gravity pulls it, it ultimately hits the bottom barrel. It hits its lowest point. Says the Gaon about this point, he tchilas hakima. You know, it's like if you were a diver, because where we are now, you know, all our kids and grandkids are diving. So you reach the bottom, and then you go up. And the Gaon adds the following comment, dafka, only, kishemagim lesof hachurban, Vadyuta tachtona, tafka az matchila ha-ge'ula. The process of ge'ula can only begin when we hit that bottom point, the lowest point. The Geula, says the Gaon, represents his Romimus, picking us up, lifting us up, which is guaranteed to Klal Yisrael. But that guarantee, that avtocha to Klal Yisrael, is not in force as long as we can still fall lower and lower. As long as it's Efshal Linpol Yosel Lamata, then ain avtocha l'tchila sakima. There's no fruition of the promise that we will gradually be redeemed. Therefore, when it says Lo Tosif Kum, which again, now the Gemara is interpreting as if, well, I'm sorry, initially the Gemara interpreted before the Bnei Merov as Lo Tosif Kum, means that the situation can be described as totally lost. There's no hope whatsoever. You've reached the lowest of the low, Besuas Yisrael. Comes along Bnei Marava, and what they do is they take the word Nafla and they put a comma after it, and the Lotosif goes on the Nafla, which means you can no longer add any Nafila. Oh, if Lotosif Lin followed, then Kum Besuas Yisrael. So it's a strange kind of paradox. On the one hand, the simple pshat in the pasuk is correct. The pasuk is prophesizing our nefilah, and we're reaching the lowest of the low, which is obviously a catastrophic prophecy. But on the other hand, what this pasuk is telling us is dafka when we reach that lowest of the low, then when it's lo tosif lin polod, then it's kum besuas yisrael. Then we begin the process of geula step by step. We make the turn towards the arrow turns from down to up, and we've reached the epitome of Peronios. That's the precondition for kum besuas yisrael. Kum besuas yisrael, says the Gaon, could never come into fruition until higiu l'siah Peronios. We reach that lowest level. It means that the sof ha-churban, the lowest and most intense moment of churban, is really the tchilas nechama. That's the beginning of solace and consolation, because up until this point, when we haven't reached the diuta tachtona, then we're still in a process of nefila. Lo istayma nefila, and nefila keeps going and going and going. And we cannot begin kum besuas Yisrael. Now, if this be the case, let's go back to the Gemara in Makkos that we started with. It was absolutely simple, without any doubts in Rabbi Akiva's mind, that the nevuah of Zechariah Novi would come to fruition. He never had doubts that maybe, chalila, that nevuah would not be miskayim. But what he was worried about was that maybe the groundwork is not yet prepared for the geula. We still haven't reached the lowest nefila to the diuta tachtona. And therefore, for the time being, the nevuah of Zechariah is put on the back shelves. Once he sees that the nevuah of Uriah, of Tzion Sada Tichrosh, comes to fruition, he understands that that means it's the lowest Diuta Tachtona, the Sia Churban, the pinnacle of Churban. Then he understands that now we can begin to expect and anticipate the fulfillment of the Nevuah Sageula, the Nevuah of Zechariah Novi, on Yeshvu Zekenim Uzekenos Berchovos Yushalayim. And therefore, Rabbi Akiva turns to his colleagues and he asks them to spell out exactly why they're crying. Because until they spell out why they're crying, it's meaningless for Rabbi Akiva to laugh. He can only justify his laughter when they explain their bechi. The bechi, the crying, is going to be a precondition to his tzchok, to his laughing. When they explain with crying, because look, foxes are prowling on this, on the mountain, on the Temple Mount, which, by the way, I don't know if you read about this, but a week ago, in the newspapers, they were reporting that there were right before Tisha B'Av, that there were actually foxes that were prowling on the Temple Mount. At that point, once the colleagues expressed the Bechi, how could this be? At that point, Rabbi Akiva says, now I can justify why I'm laughing, because now I know we're in the new mode over here. Of course he believed in the fulfillment of Zechariah's prophecy, but he never was sure, at least there was no assurance that the period of Nechama could begin. The period of Nechama cannot be meaningful as long as we're in a downward motion, but only when he realized, and the Bechi of the other greats really clinched it for him, that we've reached the lowest level. It's Tzion Sada Tichrosh, which is the Nevuah of Uriah. Now we're ready for the arrow to start going up, and the trend of Nechama and Geula has begun. And perhaps now we could add another embellishment regarding the two stories, the two episodes that the Gemara reports in at the end of Masechta Makis, because what the Gemara wanted to establish here is a double Nechama. You remember that at the end of the second episode, the Tanoim turn to Akiva and they declare, Akiva Nechamtanu, Akiva Nechamtanu. It's a double Nechama. Now, why is this a double Nechama? So we're going to explain it the following way. If you take a look in your Maror Mekomos, you'll see a piece from Rav Huttner, from his philosophical work called the Pachad Yitzchak. And he writes that we have to understand Nechama from two perspectives. Okay? Now, again, let me just re-emphasize as we go through this Pachad Yitzchak that there's a double Nechama, because we really have to establish the Diyuta Tachtona, right? The lowest of the low. Now, the lowest of the low is made up of two factors. One factor is the contrast between the nations of the world and the nation of Israel, in which the nations of the world are living the great life, and Israel is suffering in anguish. That's point number one. And point number two is the Kedushas HaMakom of the Beis HaMikdash, is the Beis HaShem. To what extent was there Siluk Shechina from Beis HaShem, to the extent that the foxes are prowling on the Har HaBayis? Let me just elaborate on this for a moment. I still want to get back to Reb Chaim Shulevitz before, if we can. And to try to elaborate on the fact that the foxes are prowling on the Har HaBayis. Animals have a certain intuition. If you take a look at the language of the Gemara, it says Shualim Hilchu Ba. It doesn't say Shualim Holchu Ba. Holchu means the foxes are prowling on the Har HaBayis. Hilchu is like, let's say, for example, if Joe, I want you to accompany me on a certain trip. So what I do is, I invite you to join me. The Hebrew word for inviting someone to join you is Hilchu. Hilchu means to cause you to join me, to walk with me. So I heard once from Rav Soloveitchik, he said the following, that the fox family is made up of, let's call it, Papa Fox and Mama Fox and Baby Fox. So Papa Fox is out there looking for a location where they can establish their family. You know, it's like a bird's nest, so to speak. So they wanted to establish a place. So he's looking for a sada, a field, which is totally desolate, meaning that human beings are not going to bother us over here. It's completely desolate. No one's going to go there. So the fox turns to his buddies. Hilchuba, join me. This is a great location for us to establish our domicile for generations to come, fox generation after fox generation. No one is going to come and disturb us, because this is Tzion Sada Tichrosh. So we have now two stories. The first episode is the Plata Shel Roma. That indicates that the Goyim are living the high life, culture, music, the Colosseum in Rome, the gladiators, the heroes, the masses of people that are coming and converging over the city. It's Lebedinkenstadt. This is Rome. And Nebuch, the Jewish people are being dispersed in their exile, sold as slaves. And that's the first element of Diuta Tachtona, when the contrast is so sharp between the nations of the world and Israel. And number two, what could be a worse contrast in terms of the Kedushas HaMakom of the Mikdash than Tzion Sada Tichrosh, that the foxes realize this is the place we can establish for all generations our domicile. And now we need a double nechama. Rabbi Akiva Nichamtoni, Akiva Nichamtoni, says the Pachad Yitzchak, that the concept of nechama, the very meaning of nechama, can be broken down into two. The first understanding, the first meaning of nechama, is what we call idud vafochas tikva. Idud means to encourage someone who's down. He thinks he's very pessimistic about the future. He needs optimism. And hafochas tikva lafiach means when you arouse and you sort of activate and energize. Tikva means hope for the future. That's the first meaning of nechama. The second meaning of nechama is that the word nechama, and again he proves each one of these, we're not going to go through all of Tanakh now, is that nechama means charata. Charata is when you regret something that happens. Now what's common, the lowest common denominator to both of these meanings, is that the charata is the exact opposite of the original thought. The original thought was very depressing, very pessimistic, and the opposite is called charata. So the nechama will really give us idud, will give us optimism and faith and hope for the future because of the charata. The charata means that what was terribly evil and catastrophic, now there's a total hefech, a total regret means a total opposite. So that regret or charata is going to be the basis for idud and tikva. And now perhaps we could say that this is what the Tanoim were conveying to Akiva, Rabbi Akiva, by doubling the lashon of Nichamtanu. The double lashon Nichamtanu and Nechama times two means both of these meanings of Nechama. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is having Charata now. He wants to make a complete about face. And instead of destruction, he wants to bring redemption and rebuilding. And therefore, if God has made that change, if God is now in the state of Nechama, meaning Charata now, we're ready for Idud and for tikva, we're ready for hope and faith in the ultimate geula. And all this happens at the moment that Klal Yisrael reaches the diuta hatachtona, the lowest level, when both the anguish and the suffering of Klal Yisrael is the most profound and intense, and when the Migdash, in terms of Kedushas HaMakom, has reached its lowest level, the most desecrating level of Shu'olim Holchu Ba, as we explained it. And now we need Nachamu, Nachamu Ami. We need a double Nechama. A Nechama, number one, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu declares that no. What was before was evil, and now there's a total change, a total regret, an about face. And now we're ready for making that turn as we reach the lowest point of Diuta Tachtona, to move up towards the ultimate geula, and now we're in a mode in which we're moving up with idud and tikva, with absolute optimism for the ultimate redemption. Now let me add something of my own here, which touches on what Reb Chaim Shmulevitz was presenting earlier, and that is the Gemara in Pesachim. The Gemara in Pesachim says that in this world we have two brachos. We have Baruch Atov HaMeitiv for some good tidings, and then if they're bad tidings, Nebuch, it's Baruch Dayan HaEmes. But Le'olam Abba, when the Mashiach will come and the ultimate Geula, there'll be only one bracha. That bracha is Baruch Atov HaMeitiv. So the Beis HaLevi and others say that what that means is that all the evil, the anguish and the tragedies that we've befallen, ultimately, when we get the right perspective, the perspective of Emes, that will be Baruch Atov HaMeitiv. What we thought was din, what we thought was horrible catastrophe, we'll understand that it was all part of a divine plan, and it's all a tov. And of course, this is so typical of Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva is the one who formulated the phrase, "Kol mai di ovid rachmana l'tava ovid," to see in everything that happens the good. Just in this world, we're not capable of reaching that madriga. We are not Rabbi Akiva. What we do is we differentiate between din and punishment and evil and catastrophe on the one end, and great tidings on the other end. This Baruch Dayanu Emes, this Baruch Tov HaMeitiv. But ultimately, and perhaps, this is the Beis HaLevi, retroactively, we will appreciate that everything that happened and everything that God brought about was all for our good. And if we take a look at the last bracha of Birkas HaMazon, which is called the bracha of Hatova Meitiv, which the Gemara establishes was enacted and added to Birkas HaMazon in Yavne after the Aruge Beitar, the dead bodies were given to Kfura, and that becomes part of Birkas HaMazon. And Birkas HaMazon is essentially a Birkas Hodah to thank Hashem for giving us life, giving us sustenance, giving us food. And now what we're saying is that the Nechama is when Nitnu Haruge Beit HaLikvura. What does that mean? We reach the lowest of the low, the Dyuta Tachtona. By the way, the historians claim, I don't know how they know this, that close to 500,000 people died. Jews died, were killed by the Romans. And now, we were able to bury their bodies. At least now we see that the trend has turned. That's what Hodah is all about. Hodah means when we're in a mode in which the arrow is going up. And therefore, it makes sense that Chazal would have integrated this brach of Hodah into the Birkas HaMazon. And the Gemara says the following in Masechet Tainis. You'll see this on the second page. Mishacharash turnus rufus haroshas haheichal nigzor gzera al Rabbi Gamliel lahariga. There were two events that parallel each other, and they both indicate the diuta tachtona. Turnus rufus plows the Makom HaMikdash. As far as chilul kiddush is concerned, this is the most intense, profound desecration of Kiddusha. And it's the fulfillment of Uriah's prophecy of Sada Tichrosh, Tzion Sada Tichrosh. At that same moment, that would be the end of the leaders of Klal Yisrael, Asar Ruge Malchus. The Gzera was that they would be killed. Now, I just want to add the following. We mentioned the Gemara in Yuma. The Gemara in Yuma says that Bishasha Nichnasu Nachrib Lehechal Ro Kruvim Hamaurim Zeba Zeh. How is it possible when the Gemara Baba Basra establishes that it's only at a time when Osim Ritzon Shalmakam, that's when the Kruvim face each other? At the moment of Churban? The answer is that Ma'urim Zebazeh is a reflection or a an expression of God's love for Klal Yisrael. At the moment of Churban, when the Mikdash is going up in flames, that is the moment of Diyuta Tachtona, the Shas Churban. And that becomes the Tchilas HaGeula, the Oris Panim of the Geula. And so the Oris Panim of Geula is an expression of God's love for Klal Yisrael. And therefore it makes sense that the Kruvim were Meurim Zebazeh. And when does Nechama begin on Tisha B'Av? It begins Mincha time. Why Mincha time? That's exactly when they set fire to the Mikdash. And after is Dafka B'Shas Mincha, when we see the pinnacle of Churban, when they lit the torch to the Beis HaMikdash, that is the Diyuta Tachtona. We've come to the point in which Nefol and Lo Tikom, we can't go any further. No more Nefilah. Is Kum Besulas Yisrael. Now, after this Nefilah, when the Mikdash is up in smoke, then begins the process of the Geula of Kum Besulas Yisrael. Therefore, Dafka Tishva Mincha time, which is the Ikar HaChurban, when the Mikdash was set in fire, that's when we're going to recite the Tefillah of Nachid. The paradox is that now we're coming to the lowest level of Churban. And that's the moment when Hashem wants to show us Nechama, that now He's reversing the process, and instead of going down further, we can't reach any lower depths, we've hit the bottom of the abyss. Now is the time for Nechama. Now is the time for Charata, for Idud, and Hafochas HaTikvah. So I just want to reiterate what I mentioned to you before, that next week we're going to take a hiatus, and we're getting together in Mir Shem in 2 weeks' time on Wednesday the 28th. But before I let you go, let's just add one last point over here, based on the Vilna Gaon. You remember we spoke about Alit Zion, which is the final kina of Tisha B'Av, and the Hilula, crying and the wailing on the Churban is compared to the crying and the wailing of a woman who's giving birth. Now we know that the pains of labor become more and more intense with the passage of time. And the most intense pain is right before birth. What happens is that Ke'isha b'tzireha, she reaches the Diyuta Tachtona, and then after that, the baby is born, Amir Sashem, a beautiful, healthy baby, and so begins the redemption, the Simcha. And then, in the case of a woman who gets married, never lost her husband, it's so tragic, but she's reached the lowest of the low. Tragedy cannot be any greater, more intense. The pain cannot be more intense. Now begins a process in which she begins consolation, nechama, and hopefully she'll get remarried and begin her life again. And based on the Gaon, we can explain the pasuk v'hoya zaracha ka'afar ha'aretz. The Torah says two things in the Bris Mein of Sarma of Avram. He says, V'hoya kezarcha kafara aretz, your descendants will be like the dirt on the ground. And then, ufaratzta yom of akedma v'tzafon of enegma. There's a condition and a fulfillment. The condition is that we have to reach that yuta tachton of ke'ofar aretz. Once that condition is met, then we're ready for the bracha of ufaratzta, etc. Only after we reach the Diyuta Tachton of Ofer Oretz, then we can break out to Faratzta on all levels, physical and spiritual. And just to quote the Sfarno, which you have here on page 5, Ki Omnam Chua Sakel Hasida Tia Acharov Shiflus Yisrael. The ultimate Chua, the salvation for Klal Yisrael, will be only following the Rov Shiflus Yisrael when we've reached the level of shiflus, the lowest level. And that, he says, the Sfarno identifies that Hayom, with today's Golus. Again, he experienced the terrible period of the Inquisition in Spain, etc., etc. The Kliyokar has a similar language. He says, "Ein atshua bol Yisrael kiyim bisman sheheim betachlis hashiflus." Only when we reach the tachlis, the ultimate shiflus. So therefore the Shoresh, the root of the Geula, bursts forward like a flame from the Golus itself. And this Golus is hinted at in the story of creation. The Torah tells us, Vayere Vayivoka, the Torah describes Choshech, Vayi Choshech al Pnei HaTohom. The Choshech represents the darkness, says Rav Tzadok HaKohen Milublin. It's the lowest level of darkness, but only afterwards, Vayi Or, the light shines forward, it breaks through the night, through the darkness. There's a Gilui Mitoch HaKhoshech, and that revelation, after Klal Yisrael has reached the Choshech of their history, of Diyuta Tachtona, now we're ready for the Or, the Vayi Or, the beginning of the Geula. And I would just add my own comment. When we look around at the history of Klal Yisrael, we really tried to re-experience that just a few days ago on Tisha B'Av. We become aware of the fact that the shiflus of Klal Yisrael, you know, Rav Lozar Kalir begins his kinnis with Tzchiyu Mos HaSimuni. We become so low, that's how they describe us, and now there are things going on all over the world. Anti-Semitism, again, comparing us to the lowest of the low. And none of it is true, of course, but the anti-Semites are looking for bait to eat, to bite at, and that's what they have for themselves all over the place. It's on Facebook, and it's in every country. Belgium has hit the lowest of the low, which is, you know, situations which remind us of the 1930s. And it's happening in America, in Canada, in Europe for sure, in almost every country in Europe. And it's really a Choshech period in that sense. You know, again, we have Medinas Yisrael and we have Jewish communities that are flourishing, but on the other hand, there's a lot of Choshech out there, a lot of darkness. And we can only hope and pray that this is the beginning of the Geula. We're waiting for that period of time, as we mentioned in the Gemara Pesachim, when we can be Mavarech HaTova Meitiv for everything. And really appreciate what Hashem is giving to us, and it's all for our benefit. As Nachum Ish Gamzu would always say, Gamzu L'tova, Rabbi Kiva would say, Koman Di'ovid Rachmona L'tav Ovid. Let's see if we can embellish a little further this concept of Rabbi Chaim Shulevitz about Choshech and Or. The Gemara Chagiga on Daf Yud Beis Amud Beis Darshan's a Pasuk in Tehillim. And the Gemara says, Choshech v'anan v'arofel makifin oso shenemar yoshes choshech sisro svivosov sukoso cheshkes mayim ovishchokim umiko chashucha kamishmaya faksiv posig Daniel hu gola amikta umistera yodama mashchucha bechashucha unahora meishori Lo kashoti habibote gavoy habibote baroy. So let's explain that bote baroy. That's where Hashem identifies with the tzaros of Klal Yisrael, the mistarim tivke nafshi. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is mastiras atzmo mina osid. But in the bote gavoy, that's Hod v'Hodul l'fanav Oz v'Ched v'Mimkomo. That's where Hashem is very aware of the future. That's what the Gemara here in Chagig calls Gola Mikto Misterosa. And what it means is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu reveals the Omek, the depths and the Hester, and that which is concealed. In a place called Mistarim, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mastir the Asid. But Golia Miktsa Umistarasa Unahora Ame Shari. There it's Liros Esa Osit. And Liros Osit means it's Kulo Tov Ve'ametiv. It's all good. It's all for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. So Bimistarim Tivke Nafshi in the Bate Broi, that's
head there. That's confusion. That's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a sense, conceals the Tov, which is inherent in all the events and catastrophes that befall Klal Yisrael. But in the Batei Gavoi, everything is clear. Everything is crystal clear. It's Hod v'Hodol l'fanav. It's Od v'Chesbav m'koma. The Hod and the Hodar there in the Batei Gavoi is because it's l'fanav. L'fanav means here's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees and knows everything in the future, l'fanav. It's Oz v'Chesbav v'Mkomo. And when we tap into this concept of the Batei Gavoi, when we become more and more profoundly aware of the philosophy, so to speak, the Hashkafas Olam of the Batei Gavoi, that everything is part of this divine plan, then we achieve Nechama. When we realize that it's Hod V'Hodol L'Fanav, and L'Fanav means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is seeing, he's aware of what's happening L'Fanav, then it's Oz V'Chedva V'Mkoma. And I wanted to close the shiur with a quote here from the Kuznets of Magid. He writes, V'da b'ni, shekol masha over aleinu begolus seinu amar, hakol bertzono haposhut b'li shum shinui. He hides the Tov HaGonuz B'toch HaTzora in order to partner, in order to identify and to empathize with the Tsar of Klal Yisrael. But the Koshnit says, Aval Misha Yochol Lalos Lebatei Gavoi, someone who has the ability, like a Moshe Rabbeinu, like a Rabbi Akiva, like a Nochem Ish Gamzu, to climb up to the level of Batei Gavoi, to the ruts on the real true will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is certainly Yesh Simcha Lefanav. Adam sheyochol is alos lebatei gavoi, shesham oz vechevav mkomo, is then through this his alus, he'll reach the level of emuna, of a Rabbi Kiva, of kol di ovid rachmona letav ovid. He'll accept everything in life with simcha, with ava. He'll thank Hashem. He'll be sameach together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He will sort of override and jump over the Batei Barai and the Bechia and the Mistarim Tivka Nafshi, the Bechia of the Tsar of Klal Yisrael, and when he's Mevatel the Tsar of Klal Yisrael by being Mekabel everything B'Simcha, then even HaShkodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachos Tsar is minimized in the Batei Barai. And that's what we're praying for, this is what we're hoping for. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is now in Batei Barai, it's Tivka Nafshi. We haven't yet reached the level where we will be revealed in front of our eyes is how everything is part of the good, that we reach the Diyuta Tachtona, now we're ready to project ourselves closer and closer to the Gula Shleima B'Merav Yameinu Amen.